Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Yeah, glad you could be with us to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me is Eric Johnson, colleague at MRM. And today we're going to discuss the twofold nature of the atonement as it is understood in LDS theology. In fact, that phrase is actually used by Joseph Fielding Smith in his book Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 1, page 123. This is what Joseph Fielding Smith said. He was the 10th president of the Mormon Church, and he wrote, "Twofold nature of atonement. The atonement of Jesus Christ is of a twofold nature. Because of it, all men are redeemed from mortal death and the grave, and will rise in the resurrection to immortality of the soul. Then again, by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel, man will receive remission of individual sins through the blood of Christ, and will inherit exaltation in the kingdom of God, which is eternal life." So clearly we are seeing that the Mormon Church is making a distinction within that one word. The word salvation can mean two different things, and why it's important that you have the Mormon explain to you what it is they mean when they use the word salvation in a sentence. Going on with this idea of a twofold nature, Russell M. Nelson also more recently made a similar comment, did he not?
Yeah, Bill, in the Ensign, February 2003, on page 24, he said this, "Thanks to the atonement, the gift of immortality is unconditional. The greater gift of eternal life, however, is conditional. In order to qualify, one must deny oneself of ungodliness and honor the ordinances and covenants of the temple."
So basically, in order to receive this general salvation, which is resurrection from the dead, you really don't have to believe anything. You don't have to live a particular way. Everybody is going to be saved by grace, as Bruce McConkie said. But the problem we have, of course, is how does this fit within a New Testament model? Because Jesus made it very clear that there are two resurrections, one to eternal life and one to eternal damnation. So if a Mormon is going to say to be saved by grace is salvation, does that mean that the great majority are going to be saved by grace unto damnation? That makes no sense at all. So that needs to be explained.
Oh, that's true. I want to just point out something, Bill. The reason that they believe that everybody has been saved by grace is that in the pre-existence, a previous life that all of us lived as spirits in this previous life, the pre-mortal life, all of us did not choose Lucifer. And so one-third of our brothers and sisters who were cast out of heaven did not get a chance to have a body. But because we chose wisely in the pre-existence, it's kind of a karma kind of a thing that because we did well, we were able to be born onto this earth to have a body. And because of that and nothing more, everybody is going to have this chance to be able to go to one of three levels of Mormon heaven.
Right. This is known as the war in heaven. And what it does demonstrate, though, Eric, is that even in the pre-existent understanding of Mormonism, works play a part.
Absolutely.
Works always play a part in Mormonism. And so getting back to that original question, how does this distinction within that one word, the word salvation, how does it play out when we look at Bible verses in the New Testament? For instance, what was the Apostle Paul talking about when he wrote in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." The question I'm asking is was Paul referring to a general resurrection of the dead, or was he speaking about exaltation? Because Paul doesn't certainly make that clear.
No.
And because I don't think Paul had that type of a definition when it came to the word salvation. This is something that is unique in Mormonism. It is not something you're going to find in the New Testament writings. So let's ask ourselves this. What was Paul talking about when he said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God"? Let's go through that. And what we will do is, let's assume for a minute that Paul was referring, when he uses the word saved in verse 8, that he was speaking of the resurrection. If he was speaking of the resurrection, the verse would read this way, "For by grace you have been resurrected through faith." Well, now, that causes problems for the Mormon definition because, as we know, faith is not a requirement to be resurrected. So you wouldn't need faith. So obviously, Paul wouldn't be saying that if Mormonism is true, obviously. He wouldn't be saying that you need faith in order to be resurrected. So, well, that only leaves us one other choice, does it not? He must have been talking about exaltation. And as we've seen, exaltation has been defined by Mormon leaders as something that must certainly be worked for. There must be an effort behind it. And for instance, the quote that you read by Nelson, in order to qualify for this, it's conditional. One must deny yourself of ungodliness and honor the ordinances and covenants of the temple. And certainly that's just a small part of it. There's certainly other things that Mormons must do as well. So let's say, hypothetically, Paul was talking about exaltation. Then we could read Ephesians 2:8 this way. For by grace you have been exalted through faith. And I think you'd agree, Eric, that so far, fitting in the context of Mormonism, mm-hmm. that would work because you do need faith. But then it goes on to say, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, right there, that disqualifies the Mormon definition of what needs to be done in order to be exalted, because works are very much a part of that portrait. So obviously, Paul must not have been talking about resurrection. Paul must not have been talking about resurrection, or I mean, exaltation as defined by the Mormon church. It doesn't fit. Neither one of those definitions fits Ephesians 2:8 and 9.
What do they say? You can't have your cake and eat it too? I think that's, when we're looking at this, you can't have both those definitions work for that one word of salvation. So, I mean, you could use that for Acts 16:31 as well, Bill. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou will be saved and thy house. It can't be general resurrection because believe and thou shalt be resurrected. But belief is not required
right.
for general resurrection. So you're left with individual exaltation. Believe and thou shall be exalted. But exaltation comes only to those with gospel obedience and continued good works to the end of this life. You have to endure to the end. And so there's another passage. You could do this with pretty much every passage that has to do with believe in Jesus.
Yeah, I think the importance is that when we are talking with our Mormon friends, we want to be able to communicate. And it may get a little bit redundant on this show, but I don't think we can emphasize it enough that when we are talking with our Latter-day Saint friends, we need to clearly define what we mean when we use certain words. And it's only when you don't do that that you run the risk of walking away realizing you didn't really communicate at all. The point being is that when the Mormon church takes these Christian terms and they redefine them, they often undermine their importance. And they, as we have seen in the case of Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it doesn't even make sense anymore. Oftentimes I've asked Mormons, well, what was Paul talking about in that particular passage? Was he talking about, the general salvation or resurrection from the dead, or was he talking about exaltation? You would think that if Paul was really a good Mormon, which I would think he would have had the true gospel as Mormons understand it, he would have known better than to use this word in such a way where it makes no sense. So anyway, I think, again, we need to emphasize that to our Mormon friends and really politely show them that we're struggling with this type of a definition because it doesn't seem to fit what the New Testament is trying to get across to us.
Bill, on the show, we keep emphasizing as well, gentle and respectful. We want to make sure we're not trying to put words into people's mouths. When Mormons come to us, we want to ask questions. We want to find out what it is they believe. But what we're trying to do here is we need to lay it all out so it's understandable to both parties. And I think so often, a lot of Christians, I've had so many Christians come up to me throughout the years, and they've said, I have a Mormon friend, and I'm not sure you're telling the truth here because they believe in God. They believe in salvation. They believe in the Bible. And here they believe in the atonement. And I always say, what do you think they mean when they say that? And this is something that I think many Christians, and if you're living in Utah, you have to understand the meaning behind what they're using as far as the terms are the same, but the meaning is different.
Absolutely. And we should not feel inhibited as far as asking that question. And we can do it politely. We don't have to be mean-spirited. In fact, we shouldn't be mean-spirited. But, you know, we should also mention, too, Eric, is many times with some Latter-day Saints, it doesn't matter how nice you are. They're always going to look at this as some kind of an attack or a bash or something that's motivated out of an animosity for them as individuals. I don't really have an answer for that. I think people like that are demonstrating that they are irrational to a certain point when it comes to this issue. And there are going to be some people that look at everything as an attack, and they won't listen to you at all. But I have found in my experience that that's usually the exception rather than the rule. I find most Latter-day Saints are usually, you know, they're pretty open to discussing these kind of issues. And certainly they've been encouraged to try and straighten us evangelicals out as to what they believe. So I would think they would be, looking for that opportunity to do just that. And we should give them that opportunity to do it. Say, hey, look, I want to make sure I understand you. Could you please explain to me what you mean when you say this? And I don't think most Mormons would have a problem with that at all.
I think they'll appreciate it because so often people like to even accuse us, Bill, of putting words into their mouth. Well, I don't say you exactly believe what these leaders are saying, but when we quote the leaders, we're just saying this is what your Mormon leaders have taught. I'm never telling a person what exactly he or she believes. I will always ask that question. Do you agree with your leaders? What do you believe about this particular topic?
I think we should mention that when you and I were writing Mormonism 101, we made it. We were very careful not to use the expression Mormons believe, unless, of course, it was a doctrine that all Mormons are supposed to believe. And we wanted to make it very clear we're not trying to say that every Mormon believes everything they're supposed to believe. So we were very careful about that expression.
We use Mormonism teaches.
Mormonism teaches, or Joseph Smith said, or Brigham Young taught, or John Taylor wrote, and things like that. We wanted to put the blame where the blame should have been. And we didn't want to make a stereotype. And I don't think we should when we are talking to our Mormon friends. So, again, we find there's a big difference when it comes to this word salvation. Make sure you clarify your terms if you're going to have an intelligent conversation with your Mormon friends. There is a big difference, even in the word salvation, and as there's a big difference in a lot of other major terms that we use in our Christian faith. So make sure that you make these distinctions very clear when you're having your conversations with your friends.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.